Live from the City of Gastronomy and live from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, located on 22nd at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson, Arizona, where there is no better place to spend a Saturday morning dreaming of what is going to come at the end of that delicious smoking process that I've literally been enchanted by all morning long. We are thrilled to be here on remote. It's going to be a delicious weekend. It's Parents Weekend at the U of A. There are a lot of people visiting in town, and have we got the places for you to try. And if you want to get a real taste of what it means to be here at this time of year and get the real sense of Tucson hospitality, well, there is no better place to come than Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. We are here with the man himself, my good friend Ken Alexander. This is our first remote from Ken's together in this new Saturday series. I am thrilled to be here. Thank you for having us.
Good morning, Jennifer. We really appreciate the opportunity to host Around the Table here at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. It's really a blessing, and we really appreciate you all that you do for Tucson.
Thank you. You know, it's kind of fun about this. I'm going to take my microphone because we've got these little tiny mic stands. I want this up real close so everybody can hear you and me. You might want to do the same. You know, when we get to spend time together, and I'm very fortunate that I get to spend some time with you every month, I'm always struck by two things about you. You're one of the most peaceful men, graceful men I've ever met. And I know this is such a hard business, and it's a grueling business, and it's a taxing business. It's a hard town to do this business in. And you look like one of the happiest people I've ever met. And I want to know, is it, which comes first? Are you happy and therefore the food tastes happy, or is the food part of what makes you happy?
Well, it's kind of both. I'm happy. I feel like I have a lot of joy, and we put joy into the food.
Yeah.
You know, we look at it. I mean, you hear about it as a tough business, but we don't look at it as a tough business. We just kind of do what we do. We make food. We try to pour love into it. And from there, you know, it doesn't seem to be that hard.
Well, you make it look easy. I know it's not. Let me see. I'm getting a little. We got a lot of people who are calling in today. They're going to call in at 520-790-2040. We're going to take you on a little bit of a tour around some of the things going on this weekend. We're going to have you pull that right there. We'd love to have you come down because you guys open up at 11 o'clock.
Yes, we do.
You've got some specials going on today that we have to talk about first and foremost. What's going on in this town that the chicken sandwich is like a news thing? That people are talking about chicken sandwiches. Last night I drove by Exo and the Pop's Hot Chicken truck is out there. You know, Popeye's Fried Chicken is making a big story out of the fact that they ran out of their spicy chicken sandwiches, creating this unprecedented demand. I mean, no offense, it's taken them a month. How long does it take to make a chicken sandwich? A month is too long.
Yeah, that's a little too long.
It's just a little too long. But in the meantime, I think that what's happened is everybody's gone and said, yeah, that sounds good. Let's go find one. And there are some great examples, including one that you have here, one of the tastiest I've ever had. And people have sort of risen to the challenge in the moment of opportunity to create their hot chicken sandwich. And I'm going to tell you, this is not only a delicious one, it's what you got on special today.
Right, it is. I think it all started with Nashville Hot Chicken and over the past year, and it seems to have kind of caught on. And with the Popeye's craze, they offer that chicken sandwich, and everybody's hot for chicken sandwich now.
Right.
So we do have our own KG. He's one of the pit crew,
yep.
My son. He created a chicken sandwich for us, and the sauce and the breading. And so it's a really delicious chicken sandwich, and we do have it on special today.
Which
while supplies last. Yeah, the last time he posted it when we first started in our test kitchen, and we really weren't offering it. He put it on Facebook, and a bunch of people came in and were looking for the sandwich. So come on back. We have it today.
So when you run out, it doesn't take you a month to put it back on the menu, though.
No, it doesn't. It certainly does not. Yes, for sure.
I got to tease them about that because it's like I get that they've come to town here, but they've been in business a long time, and I don't know what it is. I can imagine people sitting in a boardroom in New York saying, this is going to be our strategy. We're going to create this demand for this sandwich.
Yeah, they definitely created the demand, and they just don't have the supply to, you know, being a big chain and thousands of restaurants across the country. Yeah.
Listen, I if I were in the chicken sandwich business like you are, I would send them a fruit basket saying, thank you, because you've laid some groundwork for me to have like a little robust side hustle here with these sandwiches, and they haven't officially been on your menu because I've got a copy of your menu right in front of me, but it's such a good sandwich that it's probably going to make it on here. And by the way, I was here for testing.
Yeah, you were. The last time we were here.
Oh my gosh, those are so that's always a fun process. But tasting it when it was in development, you're like, yep, this is it. And when I tasted it, I said, yes, this is irresistible. That's what you're shooting for. Talk a little bit about the process of how things got onto your menu. How is it that a chicken sandwich that's not on your menu as it exists today is going to make it on the menu? What has to happen?
Well, there's two things, and we're blessed to have the ability to glean from a lot of ancestors. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aunt Sister Girls, sweet potato pie, my Aunt Liz, she taught me some rib smoking secrets back in 1987. I mean, so, you know, my Uncle Glenn's chest pie, my mom's green beans. So we've basically taken all of these great cooks for four generations, and we just taken the best recipes and we add them to our menu. Right. And then, so this last generation, my son's a millennial and he loves to cook too. And, you know, he's got the creative cuisine bug. And so he's created all our wing sauces. He's created the chicken. And so we all play around. Sean, he's our general manager, but he's also part of the pit crew and cooks. And so my nephew, Dion, and, you know, my daughter, everybody just kind of, you know, does their thing. And we come up with new stuff and we try it. And like I said, in our test kitchen. And it is fun to taste it. They'll come up to me and say, hey, Dad, taste this. Hey, you know, and so we just toy around with it. And if it makes the cut, we'll put it first. We'll start putting it on special. And then if it, you know, if our clients or customers like it, we'll add it to the menu.
We are here live at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue at, I want to get the number right.
5250 East 22nd Street
in Tucson, Arizona. And you're between?
We're between Craycroft and Swan. Yeah. We're just a little bit west of Craycroft on 22nd Street.
And today is, you know, it's the big parents weekend, right? We've got football games, we've got Little League games. I'm heading to a Little League game today. There's lots of sports stuff going on. There's lots of tailgating opportunities. We're going to talk a little later in the show about tailgating and tailgating strategies and tailgating inspirations, mm-hmm. and how to come and maybe rely on some of our friends in the business like Ken to help us hook up an ultimate tailgating experience. And we'll tie it together with your football experience a little later on in the show. We're also going to talk about holiday parties because, gasp, it's October.
Yes, it is.
And
the year's almost over.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, I'm getting things in the mail with January 2020 on them, and I'm like, no, not yet. And we'll talk a little bit about holiday party planning and how in this time and place, when things are so challenging all the way around, it might be the year to get real with your food and get real, authentic, smoky, delicious, really satisfy your soul barbecue from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue for your holiday party. But here's the catch. There's a limited number of days and party times, and you know, you're a small family-run business and you are very much in demand at the holiday times. And we wanted to talk about the fact that if you want to do a holiday party and have you guys cater, you kind of have to start thinking about it now.
Think about it now. Book early, because we do, you know, last year we started selling smoked turkeys. And, you know, we can only smoke so many. So our thing, get your orders in early.
Now, you do smoked turkeys as part of a Thanksgiving spread that you make up for people, or do you do the complete meal and all the other sides with it? Talk a little bit about that Thanksgiving, because, again, it's right around the corner. It's like a little more than a month away.
Yeah, we're going to start selling turkeys and holiday dinners at the beginning of November, November 1st. And we sell turkeys. If you just want a turkey and you're going to make all your sides and fixings, that's fine. We do sell turkeys by themselves. But we also sell holiday dinners for 6 to 8. But, you know, you can also, if you have a bigger party, we can accommodate a bigger party.
Do you do, like, corporate parties and corporate catering for businesses? And do you go in and do lunches and holiday parties in offices?
We do a lot of holiday parties this time of year. We've already have a couple on the books with some pretty big businesses. You know, sometimes they have a couple of shifts, and we'll cater both shifts for some of the companies. So we do holiday parties, and again, we're scheduling those. We can only do so many, but we're scheduling those now also.
I've had people ask me, because they know you and I are friends, they've asked me if people can get you to bring your food truck, the Ken's Hardwood Barbecue food truck, to a private party.
Yes, we do. We've done weddings with the food truck.
Oh, cool.
We take it to different corporate events. There's a few companies around town, and they will bring the food truck out as an employee appreciation day.
Oh, nice.
And then they buy the food for their employees, and so that's really nice.
Is the Ken's menu on the truck the same menu as in the restaurant?
No, unless you cater. You know, we can do a specific menu, but we typically, there's some items that we just don't offer on the food truck, and typically that's for, so we can basically get the food out the window. You know, we can't cook everything on the food truck. It takes too much time, and many times people are in a hurry when they're at those events.
I love this. We're going to take a break in just a couple of minutes. We have an amazing guest who's going to be joining us today to help bring the idea of what you and I are sharing through the end of the year, through the holiday season. It's the theme of our holiday parties. It's the theme of our show. It's the theme of the way that we live and breathe hospitality and welcoming and cooking for our families and our friends. This show is called Around the Table. There's a new book called A Place at the Table. And its author, Gabrielle Langholtz, is going to be joining us. But the thing that's really cool about this book is it's foreign-born chefs who are creating new American dishes. And of all the cuisines one can think of, if you go back and have roots in any other tradition and you come to this country, how you meet people is through your food. Food unites us. If I meet you and you share with me what you have in your family's dining experience, I get to know you better. If you welcome me to your table, you and I become connected. It's really a sacred space. The table is a sacred space. And so I wanted to use that as a theme, a metaphor, really, of how you do what you do here at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, whether you're actually in a bricks and mortar building with actual tables and chairs, or you're on the food truck. Talk about Ken's table.
Yeah, well, Jennifer, as you know, that in my other life, when I worked at Raytheon, I traveled internationally as a business developer, and I've traveled to 43 different countries. I have friends in a lot of other countries, and one of the things I love to do when I travel was to eat, and a lot of my friends would invite me to their home, and we would have the food that they normally eat, and like I said, I love to eat, and I've enjoyed and food from all these other different countries. And, I mean, it's all about fellowship. Mm-hmm. And that brought us closer together, you know, the friends I have abroad, but also my family and what we've done, my mom, through my mom, is it's all about fellowship around the table and enjoying each other and conversation and loving on each other.
Talk to me about your place here, Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. Talk about Ken's table. What was the dream that you had for the table that you've set? because you've set a beautiful table here. Now, granted, when you walk in the building, it's got the paper towels. It's like ready for some messy. It's ready for some delicious. And the menu is so, come on, let me feed you. Right? So you walk and you see the clues. But, spiritually and sort of figuratively, you've set a table here. Talk about what that table means for you.
What the table means for me is when it's to open up for people to come in and be happy and have a smile on their face. If they didn't come in with a smile, that they leave with a smile, that they spend time here after they eat. And that's how you know that people really enjoy your spot and it feels good. And it's a light. You're kind of like shining a light, a beacon. And those people are having a good time. I mean, I see the people there and they've eaten and people sit around and they enjoy it. And you can see them tapping their foot, listening to the music and enjoying the food. And, you know, the best thing is when you see their plates clean.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's it. That's really that we just want to offer an atmosphere where people can come in and enjoy and fellowship and they feel comfortable with bringing their family, inviting their friends, and they come by and just have a good time.
Well, one extra thing, I'm always proud to bring people here and share this food with people, and I give this as a recommendation all the time because I know I love turning people on to the fact that this is good food. That makes me the hospitality hero by saying, oh, you know where you got to go? You got to go check this out. And they're like, oh, that was so good. That's part of the satisfaction of it. Hey, listen, we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to welcome the author of A Place at the Table to our table here at Around the Table. So we're here right now on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Live from the City of Gastronomy and live from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, 5250 East 22nd, and it's Hot Chicken Sandwich Day. Get in line. They're going to go fast, but it is so worth it. There aren't many things I'd stand in line for. I'm standing in line for this chicken today. It is that good. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy and broadcasting live today from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson, Arizona. I want to say congratulations and make sure you get out to Film Fest Tucson, filmfesttucson.org. Well, we're just going to be in the throes of it for one more day. But last night, we had an amazing food film fest, and a lot of the foodies in town were there. They had an evening with Peter Bogdanovich, and there was showings of some of the most wonderful contemporary food movies. And I wanted to say, whether it's the Cuban Food Stories, A Tale of Two Kitchens, Ramen Shop, it gives you a sense that food is a representation of who we are. And the table, that place where we share it, is as important a place and sacred a place as any. There are more films today, but I just want to make sure, if you haven't gotten out to see Cuban Food Stories, A Tale of Two Kitchens, and Ramen Shop, make sure you do so. Maybe you can find them on Amazon or Hulu or one of those fantastic Netflix-type sites and devices. So we're talking about the table and the sacred space of the table here at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue with the man himself, Ken Alexander. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you again, Jennifer.
So this book that we're going to introduce everybody to, I predict, is going to be one of the big award nominees of the year. Because when you collaborate with people who bring their very best to the fore, and you get the stories of how we're united by food, you can't be anything other than moved to imagine how those references, how those people who've shared generously with you in the past have introduced you to places, right? So the book is called A Place at the Table, and its author joins us now, Gabrielle Langholz. Hello, and how are you? Thank you for coming to our table here on Around the Table.
Thank you.
How are you?
So happy to be with you. Terrific. How are you?
You know, we have a friend in common in Carrie Bachman, and when she said that this was one of the books, I jumped at the chance to have you on the show. I want to have you meet my good friend, Ken Alexander. We're in his restaurant today, where he's also introducing people to the food of where he comes from and the food he shares with his guests. So the theme is apropos. And is the table really just
I wish I were there in person with you.
I know. I totally wish you were, too. But the question I'm going to ask actually to both of you is this. Is the table really just a table? Is it just a surface that's flat on which you put your plates? Or does it represent something much bigger? And what did you find writing this book?
Absolutely. It's a metaphor for coming together, literally, figuratively. This book is really a testament to how fortunate we as a country are to have such talented people coming here from around the world, bringing their flavors and ideas. And when we cook together, we make something new. And as you were saying a moment ago, come together in a new way. So you can sort of argue that America gets a little more delicious every day. And that's what this book is all about.
Tell everybody what the full title of the book is and what it means.
It's called Place at the Table, New American Recipes from the Nation's and Born. So I did this book, the Vilcek Foundation, which honors the contributions of immigrants to American sciences and arts. And they present prizes every year to immigrants who are the leaders in many different fields. And you can kind of take your pick. And here in this country, we'll find that people who moved here from around the world are the leaders in, you know, so many fields. And the culinary arts, of course, are such a perfect example of that. So This past spring, the Vilcek Foundation presented $500,000 in prizes to immigrants from around the world. And that included Chef Marcus Samuelson from Ethiopia and Sweden, and Chef Knight Yun, who's a Cambodian refugee who has an incredible restaurant in Oakland, and a bunch of others. The awards were presented by Padma Lakshmi, herself an immigrant from India, and you probably know her as host of Top Chef. And one of our previous winners was Chef Jose Andreas, who won the first year we presented this prize a few years back. Of course, he's from Spain, and so known, especially now, for his humanitarian work. So really, in the spirit of those awards, we created this book to shine a light and really try to bust some stereotypes about what immigrants mean to America, to our kitchens, and to our country. So I can go on about some of the stereotypes that we've busted, if you'd like.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to make sure we do is remind people that the immigrant experience is richly woven throughout the hospitality industry, period.
Absolutely.
And that, a tremendous amount of attention is focused on the back of the house and people who don't rise to the covers of magazines, usually, in the role of chef owner. And so some of the folks that you are myth-busting with include very dear friends of mine. I did a wonderful project with Marcus Samuelson called Africaya Spices when he did his Africaya project and his Africaya book. So the idea of how we are enriched, well, that's low-hanging fruit. What I think is much more important is the connection that your book gives us to bring these experiences in these recipes into our homes, in our kitchens, and on our tables. It's important to not just read about this and then go back to, you know, having your salad with grilled salmon on top of it. I think it's really important to try these foods and recipes. Talk about how the chefs and the author, what I'll call them co-authors with you, how they want this book to live, how they want it to be used. Because they don't just want us to read about it and just have it all be ideas.
I'd love to hear you flip it for me. Originally, we had with the publisher conceived of this as a cookbook and kind of recipe. But we felt in this instance, and we do have recipes from across the country and chefs around the world, but we felt that it was so important for the story that we're trying to tell, especially in this time of such xenophobia in this country, that we also wanted it to be a book that people could read and for it to be a book of ideas and for it to really shine a light, not just on the dish, but on the people behind them and their human stories and the path that they've each taken, which are so different. So absolutely, I hope people will cook from these pages and be surprised and try things that taste maybe like you're in Cambodia. Also, so many things that are new and uniquely American and invented here, because when people move here, they don't just make the exact same thing that they grew up with and stay in an insular community and only marry somebody from their homeland. I mean, so much of the history of our country is about people coming here, coming together, and creating something new. Actually, I was on a panel with someone who the moderator asked, what is the future of America? Kimchi tacos. That like love kimchi and tacos, but it's so quintessentially American to put together. So a lot of this book is about that idea that we come together and we put kimchi on a taco. But also really, you know, we have the individual biographies and interviews and full page photos of these 41 chefs to really share their path, their stories, and to try to bust some of those stereotypes in the kitchen are low skill, no skill, washing dishes and peeling potatoes, because that's a very incomplete part of the picture. I mean, we have 2 3-star Michelin chefs in this book. So to really shine a light there.
Well, and it's super important to make sure that this isn't just I want people to understand that the hospitality industry and the food that we are is how we get to know one another. You know, James Beard, the father of American gastronomy, said that food unites us. Now, I always maintain that we can only be united by it if 2 things happen. One, we have to have the common language with which to be united by it, and not the language of, you know, English, French, Spanish, Chinese. But you have to have the common language of respecting that if something's called, you know, chicken pot pie, then it's not a sandwich, you know. But the second thing that I think is really important is that you have to experience it. You have to taste it. You can't be united by something that doesn't unite you. And I love the idea that these chefs came together with you to make sure that people understood that the way to understand their story is to taste their story. The same way when we come here to Ken's, we can taste Ken's story and his family's story and his mother's experiences cooking professionally in kitchens and soup kitchens and cooking big for a big family and cooking big for all the people that she serves. You know, I love the idea that you have to taste this. Was there a common thread in the interviews and the chef profiles, in your opinion, that speaks to the real human aspect of this?
What I loved about you and me stuff was how different their threads have been. That certainly we have, I'll give one chef, Harold Gibson, who moved and cooked at McDonald's. Went on to cook at NoMa, widely regarded as the best restaurant in the world, and at Per Se. So we have some individuals. I mean, it's just such a diversity. There is no one story. I mean, we have Hugo Ortega, who came as a teenager from Mexico and experienced homelessness and went on to win the James Beard Award. And he said, "I accept this award on behalf of my country, America." So many of them speak about how they feel so very American and how, you know, they have a homeland. Maybe some of them feel like citizens of the world. Some of them moved here as infants. Some of them moved here as adults. There's a whole diversity. I mean, some of them moved here after graduating from the top of their cooking school in Ethiopia or Sweden. You know, Pichet Ong came here, grew up in Thailand, came to study architecture at UC Berkeley. So just an extraordinary diversity. We have 2 people in the book who were adopted. Their path or story. But I would say one common thread is innovation, creativity. These are all people who are running a kitchen. Some of them own this kitchen, who are really expanding the forefront of the frontier, you could say, of what American cuisine is. So that, I think, is what was so exciting is working on this book. As I say, we do have some recipes in the book that are truly, quote-unquote, authentic, which is such a loaded term now. But there's so much innovation and creativity. I have a chef, Japanese-born chef in Austin who's doing this amazing Japanese barbecue, which when I was in Austin, I was like, I have to taste this. It was amazing. I have an Indian-born chef in Nashville who's doing like popty nachos, a Korean-born chef in Minnesota who's putting kimchi on pizza, a Korean-born chef at the top of her game in New York who cooked Louisiana.
Well, Gabriel, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you so much for coming and being at our table and joining us and taking a seat at our table. You know, two things I want to throw out there for you. The first is, when I was looking through this book, it made me want to interview every single chef there and turn them into their own show because the stories are so amazing, compelling, and powerful. And I'm going to put it out there to the powers that be that the Tucson Festival of Books, it's one of the most incredible culinary stage book festival events in the country.
Yes, it is.
If they don't know about this book, I'm going to make some calls and see if you're not already on the roster of books that we really want to get on to come and visit with us, that a place at the table should be one that we celebrate at this year's 2020. Can you believe we're saying that? The 2020, 2020 Tucson Festival of Books. Gabriel Langholz, the book is called A Place at the Table. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take another very quick break, and we come back here at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue at 5250. I can smell the smoke, I can smell the love, and I can hear the sizzle and the crackle, and, yeah, the chicken sandwiches.
The doors are opening soon.
The doors are opening soon. Come down and see us. Come down and say hey. 5250 East 22nd in Tucson, Arizona, between Swan and Craycroft on the south side of the street. We would love to see you. Come and see us. It's going to be a delicious day and a delicious weekend here, and we're going to talk football, tailgating, holiday parties, smoked turkeys, chicken sandwiches, and more when we come back. You are listening to Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, live from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. This is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy. And there is a hubbub right now online, if you go. The Foodist Awards from Arizona Foodist Awards were announced. And I think a lot of people are wondering, like, where are all the winners from Tucson? I only mention that so that you can go and take a look at it. In coming weeks, we're going to address this. How is it that something that happens out of Phoenix gives all these prizes to all these Phoenix restaurants, and somehow we miss the boat, as they say. And I want to mention that there were a couple of nominees, including the well-deserved Charo group. But let's just ask the question. Where are the Tucson restaurateurs who do amazing things? We'll ask that question. You know, I'm a little bit of a troublemaker. I'll put it out there. But that's because we are the City of Gastronomy. Nobody comes to Arizona and goes, let's go to Phoenix because it's the City of Gastronomy. No, it's the city of a lot of other things. When you want the City of Gastronomy, you come to Tucson. We celebrated it last night at Film Fest Tucson. We're celebrating it today at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. We're at Ken Alexander's table, and he joins me as our co-host today and as our host. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up for the rest of the season, because we've just started our fall tailgating, football, holiday parties, plan ahead. There's a lot of stuff to cover here. But before we do any of that, I wanted to give you the chance, because we were talking in the break about how, as you see, we tied it all together today with a book about the table,
right.
And we're here at your table. The show's called Around the Table. And I wanted to come back and talk about this idea of the table. You know, we do tailgating. It should be like tablegating, right?
Right.
Because we're taking our table on the road when we do that. The food trucks that are such a popular part of our culture right now, that's taking the table on the road, because the table represents something so powerful in our community and our culture. But you were saying something really interesting in the break, and I wanted to go back and revisit that with you.
Yes, a table is a place where we come together and we share part of ourselves. When you walk into a restaurant, it has a certain vibe, the environment, and a certain feeling. And depending on that feeling, if it's a really, nice, upbeat, and
joyful
vibe, then you are going to co-create a better experience with the people that you're dining with. I mean, and when you leave a restaurant or when you think about the restaurant, I mean, it has good food. You have good food there. But what you remember is the feeling with those with the people that you shared the meal with, mm-hmm. the feeling of the people that hosted you in the restaurant.
Right.
And that's what you're looking for. That's what we do here, is to try to have that feeling, that joyous feeling, and that's what you remember, and that's what the table is all about. That's the fellowship there, the table, the place where you co-create a joyful experience
and a memory.
Yes.
Let's talk about the table, the Thanksgiving table, and how on that particular holiday you do something really special with your smoked turkeys that you got to get in early on. Let's talk about Thanksgiving again.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. So like I said, we're offering our holiday meal starting the 1st of November. And we smoke our turkeys with pecan wood. And we offer, last year we sold a lot of turkeys and they go pretty fast.
And you can only make so many because you've only got so much room in the smoker, and you've got to smoke the rest of the stuff for the rest of the menu for the rest of the party. So, this is a true family business. This is a true small business.
Right, it is. And so we can only get so much stuff on the smoker. We still have to do our pork butts, our brisket. And so we have to, save time to get the turkeys on the smoker.
Now, you said pork butts, and that's for the pulled pork?
Right. We use pork butts for our pulled pork.
Nice. They
and they're on a smoker typically anywhere 13 to 15 hours. We have them on the smoker.
Wow.
Low and slow.
And you had the smoker on the truck fired up today so that when we got here and I just took one whiff, it was magic. It was so enticing and enchanting.
Yeah. So we do have a really nice smoker on the truck, and sometimes we use the restaurant smoker and the smoker on the truck.
Nice. Let's talk about holiday party planning and tailgating, because these are two things that are both important in the months coming up. But I want to start with tailgating, because today's family weekend and parents weekend. So there are a lot of people in town, a lot of parties happening, about the big game. And you've got some sporting tradition in your family experience, in your life experience. And you are what I would consider my tailgating expert, my friend in the business. What's the key to a great and successful tailgating experience?
Well, one is having enough food.
Mm-hmm.
But, you want to have some delicious food at the tailgate. You want to have some things that people can, that's convenient, that they can, pick up, like ribs. And but that's the key. The other thing is that it's convenience. A lot of people don't have time to get out early with the grill, but you're really going there again for the fellowship and hanging out with your friends and the people that you're going to be cheering with. And so you don't want to spend most of your time trying to cook. And so unless you have somebody that is the tailgate person that's responsible for all that, it would behoove you to take food to the tailgate.
So do you have like a tailgate package that people can order? Like, what would you recommend somebody pick up for, entertaining their friends?
Yeah, we have tailgate packs. We have a smoked meat tailgate pack where you can get smoked meat, brisket, or pulled pork or pulled chicken. You get a couple side dishes, bread, barbecue sauce, and you can just grab that pack and take it with you to the tailgate. We also have a smoked St. Louis rib tailgate pack, where you can get a slab of ribs, couple slabs of ribs, same thing, sides, and and take that to the tailgate.
So when you say a St. Louis rib.
St. Louis is a cut of rib where they, you cut the brisket off the top of the rib. So that's a St. Louis style is the cut. They're very meaty ribs, and that's what we use here at the restaurant.
And is that pork or beef?
It is pork.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the brisket.
Yeah, so the brisket, right now I'm thinking it's probably our best seller. And, you know, the way you know you have good brisket is when the folks from Texas come in and say, I really love the brisket. Because
awesome.
They're Texas folks are beef folks, and
yeah.
and that's their that's the litmus test. I mean, is
yeah.
if the brisket is good, you're a good barbecue joint.
Right.
I don't care how, if the ribs or the pulled pork and everything else were great, but the brisket was lousy.
Because
the Texas person is going to say it's a lousy
restaurant. Who leaves a barbecue joint going, I really like the bun they put it on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But so brisket. We spend a lot of time. Again, you know, we smoke it low and slow,
mm-hmm.
and you know, has a really nice smoke ring on it.
And one of the things you do here that people around the country don't necessarily do is you make barbecue tacos. You make smoked meat tacos.
Yeah, we do barbecue tacos, and I'll tell you really the reason the place that we're in has been a barbecue joint for almost 60 years.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that is most known for this location was Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack offered, he started in the late 50s, and he offered barbecue tacos. And so when we first came into the restaurant, a lot of the patrons and a lot of the boomers that came here, kids, they were used to barbecue tacos and said, where are the barbecue tacos? Mm-hmm. So we added barbecue tacos to our menu, and they are a big seller.
Let's, before we wrap up, because we're running out of time, make sure that everybody knows that come holiday party time, you got to get in early. You got to book these things.
Yep. So, yeah, get in and book your holiday parties, your corporate parties, if you want to, the parties to basically for your employees and also for your holiday dinners.
You're the expert on this. Let's inspire people about how they can make, traditionally you've gotten deli platters with little buns and you did the thing because it was easy, and you know what you're getting, or you do platters of sandwiches from Beyond Bread, that's a thing. Tell people how they could I want people to imagine, I want them to see in their mind's eye what their holiday party at their office is going to look like with your food. What are you going to bring them? What would you recommend for them?
Well, what I would recommend for holiday parties is that we have, we make little sliders, or we set up a buffet and we offer Hawaiian rolls, and which are really good, hearty, and then we bring our pulled pork or a pulled chicken or brisket and our wonderful barbecue sauces. And so the employees or your guests can make sliders, little
yes.
sliders. That's one of the things we offer. We also offer the ribs and our side dishes, our mac and cheese. We sell a lot of mac and cheese.
Because it's good.
Our barbecue beans, coleslaw. So we set up a little buffet for you. And
do you do whole pies at holiday time?
Yes, we do whole pies. We have Aunt Sister Girl's sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie.
Right. We have, we did a catering yesterday. They bought two sweet potato pies. We got a note back from the guy this morning talking about it's the creamiest sweet potato pie you ever tasted. And so we also offer our peach cobbler. So we have peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, and... And then, of course, we offer the chest pie that my mom and I made on...
it's swoon-worthy.
The morning blend, yes.
It's swoon-worthy.
Right. So we offer all the desserts. We sell whole pies. Again, you have to get in early. We need time to make them.
And in the minute we've got left, today is hot fried chicken sandwich day. It's on the specials menu.
Yes, it is.
Come and ask for it.
Yep. Come in and ask for the hot chicken sandwich here
hot
at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue.
Listen, we've run out of time, but I had an awful lot of fun today.
I did, too. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Like I said before, we feel really blessed to have the opportunity to host your show here at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Thank you. Hey, listen, when you get home today, do me a favor. Hug your kids and count your blessings. And make sure you come by for a hot chicken sandwich. I'm going to be staying here for a few minutes, and I'm going to have one, too. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, broadcasting live from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, 5250 East 22nd. Come down and have a sandwich with me.